Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Into the Void podcast. I'm your host, Scott Fardella. Each and every episode is brought to you by Southpaw Cat Cafe, Kingston's first and only cafe where you can grab an iced mocha and adopt a rescued cat at the same time. To date, Southpaw has helped find forever homes for more than 65 cats. And right now, all of our pinback buttons and lapel pins are on sale, but it's only until the end of the month, so check out boxing.cat on Instagram or drop by the cafe soon so you don't miss out. Now, my guest this evening is a gentleman named Mike Pullman. He's a guy I've known for many, many years, and we reconnected just recently, and he started telling me about this charitable organization he's involved with called the Bearded Villains. They're holding a fundraiser next Saturday, that's May 26th, in support of Alzheimer's research. I'll let him explain all that, but it sounds like a pretty dope, benevolent crew of badasses, so I wanted to get him on the podcast to talk about that. And we also talk about some other stuff, of course, so without further preamble, I give you Mike Pullman. All right, here we go. Mike Pullman, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. How's it going?
Good, man, good. Just going to get this a little bit closer to the mic. There we go, that's better. So how's your weekend?
So far, so good.
Good busy stuff.
More busy than I'd like. Didn't feel like much of a weekend between work and my normal fire protection gig and organizing stuff. And trying to plan daddy-daughter adventures coming up this summer. Busy, nice. But good.
What did you plan? Did you plan anything fun?
So every year I try to do at least one, at least like quote-unquote semi-big adventure with the kid.
Yeah.
My daughter is 9.
Yeah.
And I'm very lucky. She's a better kid than I deserve because I was a little bastard as a kid.
I remember.
But she's very adventurous and very curious. And I think this summer we're going to roadie out east to PEI.
Nice.
And the provinces on the way as we can.
Nice. Have you ever been out east?
A long time ago, man. Went for like a family trip with my 2 siblings, my parents, when I was maybe 10, 11.
Oh, yeah.
And from what little I remember, it was a hoot. And my kid gets a kick into that kind of stuff. And it'll be
cool,
nice,
man,
for me to take her to go swim in the East Coast Canadian Ocean, you know?
Yeah, cold as hell, I bet, but that'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be, yeah. She's braver than I am in that way, man. I'm too skinny for that kind of stuff. I just freeze and she'll jump right in.
I've never been out. Actually, I've never been anywhere else in Canada. I've been all over the world, but never anywhere in Canada. I had planned to go out east, actually, with Joe from episode 3. We had planned it a couple years ago, and I think I got caught up with some training at work the week that we were supposed to go, and I had to do a workshop. It cut right into the middle of our vacation time that I couldn't get out of it, so we just had to bail. We were just going to do a road trip like that, go out to Nova Scotia. Would have been fun. Ah, well.
Yeah, it would have been fine. Like.
Yeah. Someday.
For being my father's son, I'm remarkably untraveled. Like,
really?
My dad's been all over the world.
Oh, it's so important.
From a very young age. And
why?
I've been only like
why had your dad traveled so much?
What's that, sorry?
Why is your dad so well traveled? Was it like
I
work
just,
or?
He was kind of he was your plastic, kind of free spirited hippie.
Oh, yeah.
As a young man.
I relate to that.
I was going to say, I can see some similarities there. Like, well, my dad was 15. Dropped out of high school and hitchhiked to the West Coast.
That's
lived
sick.
There summer.
I mean, super dangerous. Like, don't get killed, but sick.
Different. Like, I've talked to him at length about this because my younger brother, who's 4 years younger than me, is in that regard, like travel bug-wise, kind of followed in his footsteps.
Yeah.
So I've had conversations with both of them on traveling and, how on safety concerns and shit like that, because my younger brother went with his fiance. And my dad always said it's a very different world.
Just hitchhiking?
My dad hitchhiked, yeah.
Yeah.
My dad, he doesn't recommend anybody hitchhike.
No, Christ, no.
I don't think.
Even nowadays where, people get caught with forensic evidence and shit like that, I would not, like, it's just not worth the risk, man. You don't know who you're getting the car with. That's crazy. Especially, as a male, but even still.
Yeah, it's sad. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, I don't know. It's kind of sad that the world, in a lot of ways, has gotten to that point.
I don't know that it's gotten to that point, though, has it? Like, I think it's always been that way. That's just, you just don't know.
What's the difference, though, do you think? You think it's more, like, publicized now, if it's always been that way?
Yeah, it's way harder to get away with stuff than it used to be, for sure.
True. You would know a lot more than I would about, like, safety concerns and traveling and shit, but you hear, look at it in the news now, or maybe it's because social media and all this shit is so much of a big thing now.
I think that's all it is. It's just, I think it's just access to information. And forensic techniques and things like that. Like, even if it's not necessarily true that it's harder to get away with things, I think the perception is that it's harder to get away with things, so that keeps a lot of honest people honest. Or less honest people honest, I should say.
I was going to say, yeah, it keeps people that maybe would be a bit less
honest. If you're thinking about picking up a hitchhiker and murdering them, then maybe you'll think twice if you think, like, if I leave a pubic hair anywhere near this place, I'm going to prison.
6 months from now, they're going to trace a drop of my sweat on the bottom of my car and somehow link me to this person like they did on Criminal Minds or some shit.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. It's crazy. Did you watch The Royal Wedding?
I did not,
God.
And
how dare you?
One small part of me is kind of ashamed because I'm an Englishman.
Hey.
My dad was born in London.
Don't be. Don't be embarrassed by that.
Didn't watch any of it.
You know what I was thinking about? Okay, let's discuss the actual wedding. I didn't watch it, but I did see, like, I wasn't watching closely. We had it on at the cafe for about 12 straight hours. There's a lot of fancy hats, probably very expensive. A lot of big names, a lot of people there. But then I got thinking about it, and what a weird family to celebrate. I mean, 600 years ago. All right, so the British Empire started in the 1500s, okay? And then in their peak, they had dominion over about 25% of the world's population at that time.
Yeah.
They are responsible for, well, not directly, but kind of directly, but the genocide of, like, there are people, indigenous people that don't exist now because of that family, because of that empire and their line, their lineage.
I back that.
It's a weird world we live in that we're just kind of forgetting that.
Well, I think,
people
I think
have just kind of moved on.
I think people are selective.
They are very selective.
In their memories and in what they choose to promote or remember or do homage to, like, as far as indigenous peoples, look at Christianity as a whole, look at the English Empire, like, there's a bit more of awareness, I think, about it now. Certainly with Mr. Trudeau in the seat that he has, I think he tries really hard to make it seem like there's a bigger awareness about that kind of stuff.
About indigenous issues?
I segued hard. Specifically indigenous issues, but people are totally selective, man. Like, you look at all this shit in Kingston in the last year with Sir Johnny McDonald.
Mm.
For example, up until, the last 18 months, before anybody really had heard, like, media-wise, news-wise, social media, I hadn't heard anything particularly negative.
Things like that catch fire really quickly. That's the power of social media right there, is that the whole uproar about Sir John A, and then the pub changing its name, and
that was the example I was going to use. Like, that's fucked, man.
Yeah,
my
well,
works at
I mean, I get it.
Call it Sir John. I still do in my head.
I get it. It was a nice gesture. I'm just moving the mic again if people can hear that. It's a nice gesture that they did that, but and it's nice to acknowledge that that history existed, in my opinion. It's just, from a practical standpoint, what that campaign was trying to accomplish, to get all the names of every street sign and building and everything changed, is fucking insane, man. Like, the cost of that alone, I don't know, maybe it's worth bearing, but like, how many street signs and buildings and schools and everything else is named after that dude? You want to rename it all because of his colonial history or whatever exactly it was that you're protesting. I get it if he's a bad dude. I mean, I just think there are probably better places to put that money.
It's context, though. Right now, I'm playing devil's advocate here because I don't completely disagree.
No, please do.
He's a bad dude, but in context, if you look at the period where, you know, where he was famous, where all his major accomplishments took place, now I'm not condoning it, but as far as his colonial history, if you're to look at any other, I think, I'm a little bit ignorant about this, but if you're to look at any other major historical fiction or historical figure like in a similar role, I don't think their history would have been any different. So what is it about Sir Johnny Macdonald specifically, as opposed to Washington or any X number of all sorts of other similar...
Do you know what the difference is? They picked that man, and that's what caught fire on social media. I think that's the difference. Because I think the campaigners that were protesting that picked that name, and it caught fire, and that's the difference. I don't think it would be any different if there was a concerted effort against, like, George Washington or Columbus Day in the States, which is, you know, every single year it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it won't be long. Like, every year they have that conversation, and it changes things a little bit in the right direction. And I think I totally agree with you that these people are not necessarily to be celebrated the way they are or the way they have been historically. But again, just from a practical standpoint, we can teach that history, that accurate history, without spending millions of dollars to rebrand street signs and things like that. You know what I mean? It just seems a wildly inefficient use of taxpayer dollars to do that.
It's a hard line, I think, and I know what you mean as far as, like, it could have been George Washington, it could have been Mackenzie, it could have been who the hell knows, all sorts of similar characters.
For sure.
For whatever reason.
But again, even if it was, sorry to interrupt, but even if it was George Washington, say, and they wanted those names changed, think of the number of representations of Washington there are, say, in the United States. To change all of them now would be insane. Like, the price of that would be, yeah. So instead of doing that, since that's wildly impractical, let's reteach the history, or take that step in the right direction. You know,
that's a way. Sorry to interrupt, but that's a way better way to utilize those resources. You know, I think part of people's history from a personal standpoint or familial or, you know, famous figure is recognizing where they went wrong.
Yeah.
And then addressing it moving forward.
And moving forward, exactly.
And I think
address the issues and move forward.
Exactly. Utilizing those resources, like, to change street names and take down statues and change bylaws for pubs and shit. And instead of doing stuff like that, which sure keeps the masses happy from a social media point of view, I guess, but it has no real value.
No, but I think with the pub, what Sir John A's pub did to rename that, kudos to them. That was a symbolic gesture that, that they decided to do as a business owner or as a business. And that was great. Good for them. But as a country, I think we should steer away from that. I think we beat this up enough.
I agree. Yeah, we could get going on just that for a while, I think.
I was just reading, I thought this was hilarious. This came out earlier in the week, but Anne Frank's diary, they discovered two pages that were, I don't know, hidden, I guess, but they found her talking about sex in her diary and dirty jokes that were previously unknown. And from all accounts, they're kind of just, they portray her as just a human, just a regular person who thought about these things and had a sense of humor even at that time. Do you want to hear some of the jokes, though? There is four jokes written here. So the first one is, do you know why the German girls, the armed forces, are in the Netherlands? As a mattress for soldiers. And then there's another one. A man comes home at night and notices that another man shared the bed with his wife that evening. He searches the whole house and finally also looks in the bedroom closet. There's a totally naked man, and when that one man asked what the other was doing there, the man in the closet answers, you can believe it or not, but I'm waiting for the tram. All right, not a very good one.
The first one was better, but that's still pretty funny, especially if they actually came from Anne Frank.
Yeah. Third one. A man had a very ugly wife, and he did not want a relationship with her. One evening, he came home, and he saw his friend lying in bed with his wife, and the man said, he does, and I have to. I don't understand that. These are poor translations, Anne Frank. Maybe not a stand-up comic. But anyway.
That's okay. In all fairness, just the fact that if that's legit, the fact that she was able to keep a diary.
Yeah.
I don't keep a diary. I should. You know, which is cool. So.
Wait.
Where did this info come from?
I can't remember, but let's stop for a sec. You're aware of Anne Frank's diary, yeah?
I am aware of Anne Frank's diary. Okay. Like I said, I'm very ignorant on the majority of it. I have a very, like, layman's term, fundamental understanding of Anne Frank.
Yeah.
I'm the first one to admit to the extent of that ignorance. I know...
Oh, it's all good. I haven't even read the diary, but I'm aware of a diary that existed. She wrote in it. It's all good, man. I've never actually read it.
Am I mixing up my people, or she was deaf and blind, and she was alive during the First World War?
No, that's incorrect. I think you're talking about Helen Keller, perhaps.
Oh, I am talking about Helen Keller. Yeah.
Anne Frank was during World War II, and she's a little Jewish girl in the Netherlands, if I am not mistaken, and she's hiding from the Nazis, and that's the extent of it. She writes about it in her diary, and so forth.
I don't believe I mixed up Helen Keller and Anne Frank to go into the complete ignorance that I had about the whole subject.
No, that's all good. It's an easy mistake to make, you know.
So they found this diary well after the fact, I'm assuming, yeah?
Honestly, I don't know too many of the details. This is, people are probably screaming at their phones right now listening to this because we sound like a couple of morons. But I don't know too much.
Our saving grace is that we own our ignorance and we recognize it.
Oh, sure. And in my defense, I didn't read books in high school because I was a moron. So they actually never assigned this book in high school. So I personally blame the public school system. It's not my fault.
I don't think you're a moron in high school. For those listening,
bro.
Mr. Fardella here and I, we went to high school together.
No.
You would have seemed like a very well-read, proper young gentleman.
I was do you remember me in high school? I was goth at one point.
Maybe smoked a lot of weed, and you know, but very studious. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I was not, sir. Well-read. I could show you my grades. I do not remember reading a single book in high school. I didn't become like well-read until probably my mid-20s, honestly. I think back to my embarrassing high school days and cringe. I was just so dumb. So dumb. And even now, I mean, this is a book we both should read this. Shame on us. I'm going to go and buy a copy tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that statement. I should know much more about that than I do.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Why do you think that is? You said you were dumb, which I just don't believe. Maybe you didn't apply yourself or something. That's different.
Yeah, that's part of it. Why do I think I was dumb in high school? Why do I believe that? My grades would agree with me. I wanted to fit in, I think, and so I didn't apply myself. I had the opportunity, and I had at least one teacher that encouraged me to do better. I remember Mr. Gibson encouraging me to, as I was actually a student of, I still am a student of history. Surprisingly, I haven't read this book, but I was doing really, really well in the applied history class. I think it was in the 90s, which is probably one of my only classes that I was in the 90s. And he was like, oh, you should go up to academic. I think you'd enjoy it. And I was like, nah, sounds like too much work. So I was just lazy.
I do remember Mr. Gibson. Well, I had him for intro to, actually, when the news of 9/11 came through.
Yeah.
I had him, I was in his class for intro to anthropology, sociology, and psychology.
Yeah, dude, isn't that nuts? I was just thinking about that. 9/11 happened when we were, I think, in like 11th grade. And I remember, I believe I was in math class. And I remember watching the towers go down. I remember watching the second plane.
I don't remember a distant relative, like a second cousin or something, who worked in one of the towers. And I remember him being quite concerned.
It was fucking insane. People don't know, man. People born after 2001 have no idea what that was like. Like, you don't... I don't know. It's like, it must be what JFK being shot was like. Because, like, school stopped. They wheeled those big-ass TVs into the classrooms, and everybody watched. And we knew, like, immediately that America was being attacked, which is insane. Like, we haven't seen anything like that since, because the whole world was watching at that point. And I remember, like, live coverage after the towers got hit too. So I remember seeing live on CNN people jumping to their deaths from the towers. Do you remember that?
I remember that too.
That's fucking crazy, man. They showed that live.
I think that mentality is almost like, that was the first, at least I think for our generation, that any of us born and raised in Canada and in Ontario specifically had ever really had with like mass, whatever you want to call it, mass killing, mass terrorism on that scale.
Yeah.
And I think it's a blessing and a curse that our generation had been so insulated from that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a different world after that, man. That was like immediately after that. I remember they started the war in Afghanistan, and then 2 years later in 2003, I remember sitting in my bedroom. And it was actually, like, I was rattled. I remember when, I think it was the first time that the opening, like, salve of a war had been broadcast live on TV. Like, I remember, I think it was, like, 10 o'clock at night, and we were watching bombs drop on Baghdad live. And I just remember thinking, like, those are people dying right there. And then I was thinking, like, how is this any different than what just happened to us? Like, there must be hundreds of thousands of people dying in Iraq because of these bombs. How is that any different? But what do I know?
Well, I think, sadly, the only difference is perspective.
Yep.
I think it's important on any level that we, at least, it's easier said than done, certainly, but it's important, I think, keep that in mind. That's the only difference between us and, like you said, the people in Baghdad. Most of them were innocents, just like the people in the World Trade Center were innocents.
Yeah.
It's all perspective, man.
Yeah, yeah, crazy, crazy, you know what
I mean?
Crazy.
When I say it's a blessing and a curse, like, it's a blessing because we live in this world, especially in Canada, where we're very lucky, first world country, we have all the amenities, and where, you know, war is such a, for most of us, is such a foreign thing.
Yeah, even, I mean, for the majority of people, I'd say,
don't recognize what it could be like.
Yeah, even people with family in the military, it's even such a... That is so foreign, because that experience is so totally different than the experience of war with people in other countries. Like, if you want a crazy documentary to watch, check out The Rise of ISIS. And it talks about the Syrian civil war and how it started with the, what did they call it? The uprising in the Middle East. What did they call that? It was a color, like the Indigo Uprising or something, the Violet Uprising, something like that. But anyway, when Tunisia was toppled and then Egypt was toppled and then the Syrian Uprising started, and it just hasn't ended. And then it goes through the first days of the Civil War, which wasn't considered a Civil War at that point. It was just an uprising. And then they were putting down protesters, and then it became the Free Syrian Army against the government, and then people started sponsoring terrorist organizations in the country, and it was like just divide and conquer, basically, to destabilize Syria. And now they're still living it, and the documentary focuses on people that are still living there and living out their lives in this nightmare of a place. Man, we are so lucky to be in Canada. When you see stuff like that, that's happening right now. That's people's lives right now. That's fucking nuts.
Yeah, how many people do you think see something like that and change the channel, or it doesn't even register? You know what I mean? That's what I say.
I mean, we all do it. I do it. Curse. You have to shut it off. You have to, or you go nuts. You have to kind of put blinders on.
But I think you got to split the difference too, right? I think, and this won't earn me any fans, but I think it's one of the curses of being lucky enough to live in a first world country like Canada, is I think too many people, I think when they're faced with something like that, terrorism or mass violence or some of the horrendous things that are going on, I don't think a lot of people are equipped to deal with it on an emotional level because we've been so insulated, our generation for so long.
He's calling us soft.
Our generation or our grandparents, very different time.
Yeah, yeah. You saying this generation's soft, Mike?
In a lot of ways, this won't earn me any fans either. But in a lot of ways, I am.
No,
absolutely.
I agree. Totally. I agree. There's a lot of soft people out there.
Specifically, 2 days ago with a friend of mine.
Yeah. What was the conversation about?
Moving in that direction, I think.
That
and it's. It makes sense.
That we're less... You think people are less resilient?
Much less resilient.
Yeah.
Look at. Now, on the one side, there's a lot of benefits to that. There's more of an awareness on mental health and mutual respect and courtesy and not offending anybody or offending somebody else's values, but...
you're right. That softness is not it's not invaluable. I mean, I think you're right. There's a lot of benefits to it, but the world is also not on that on that same wavelength. So there's a lot of drawbacks to being very soft,
being nothing soft. But compassionate. If shit ever hit the fan, some post-apocalyptic shit ever happened.
Yeah,
we'd all be fucked.
Well, yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, I think this is just a young person thing, because I think I'm no different at when I was younger. I was the same way without any worldly experience. When you're young, you're just simple, man. You're just soft. A lot of people without anything bad ever happening to you, you don't know any different, So, yeah, you get soft. Of course you do. That's not, I don't think that's necessarily their fault.
That's a gift in a lot of ways.
It can be, based on your perspective, yeah.
Our grandparents fought so hard so we could have that, but it does have its drawbacks.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, because, you're living a comfortable life that you're blessed to be living, but you're also, that you don't have an edge to you at all. So that when things go sideways, you're just full.
The worst drawback of that is I think people lose that idea of gratefulness and humbleness in knowing that, you and I, we didn't do anything inherently to deserve such a quote unquote cushy life. And I think a lot of people lose that idea of gratefulness to those that have come before.
I was just lucky enough to be born in this country. That's all I did. I didn't do anything. But I think that's why it's important to stay aware of international affairs and world issues. You don't let it affect you in the sense that, like, yeah, if you look at all the terrible things going on in the world, there's certainly enough negativity that would make you want to kill yourself. But it's also a perspective shift where it can also just make you feel grateful for the things that you do have. Like, when I look at the situations in, pick a country, basically every other country but ours, I mean,
pretty well, yeah.
Or in the West, I guess. But it's rough out there, man. And it just makes you feel good about your own life. I mean, it could be worse. Things could be worse. You could live in Syria.
Yeah, it could be so much worse.
Yeah.
Like, as a, I know you don't have any kids.
Yeah.
But as a parent.
That I'm aware of.
That is one of my biggest hopes and for my daughter. And I try to make sure she's, like, she's spoiled rotten. But she doesn't ever act that way.
Yeah.
She's very humble, and she is quite grateful. As much as a 9-year-old can be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's really important, and I endorse that statement completely as far as, you know, you look at this terrible shit that's going on, and it makes you really grateful. We all lose sight of that.
Yeah.
It's human nature. You know, we don't recognize the benefits that are right in front of our face, but I think in a great, in kind of a larger picture view, I think it's really, really important that we, especially in our kids and the generations to come, that we promote that.
I agree.
I've got some friends who are teachers.
Yeah.
And I hear that all the time. That's one of the first unfortunate things that some of these teachers say, is that kids have no sense of gratefulness, and there's a huge sense of entitlement there.
Mm.
And I hate that.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything to deserve this life. I'm just fucking lucky, man, that I was born here.
Yeah. And then
you know,
one day you wake up and you find yourself in a Tim Hortons flinging shit at the barista.
That happened to me last week, and it's too soon to talk about it.
You know, man, did you see that video?
No, I didn't actually.
This actually happened. Did you hear about it?
I did not, no.
This happened this week. It was a Tim Hortons in the United States. This woman, if you YouTube it, or maybe you've seen it on Instagram, this woman was in a Tim Hortons, arguing. She can be seen, there's no audio, but she can be seen arguing with the barista. Barista, I use the term barista lightly. Sorry if you work at Tim Hortons, you're not a barista.
Or sorry if you work at Starbucks, they're actually kind of baristas.
Yeah, well, there's some skill to that job, and Tim Hortons. But anyway, I digress. So yeah, she can be seen arguing with the person at the counter. And I think she was just asking to use the washroom. And from what I understand of the backstory, they had issues with her before, and with people just using the bathrooms, as you will, because as a business owner, man, people disrespect your washroom. It is disgusting. So she's arguing with them. They refuse to let her in. And she just backs up against the wall, squats, shits right on the floor, grabs a napkin. Actually, no, not even a napkin. Just grabs it with her bare hands and whips it at the person.
Wow.
Saw that, dude, and my mouth just dropped. Like,
where was this? Do you remember?
Somewhere in the United States. If you just look at woman in Tim Hortons fling
there,
shit.
I was assuming it was in the States, but I can't.
It could have been anywhere. It could have been anywhere. It could have been one of my customers, for God's sakes. Not one of my great customers.
No,
one of my shit flinging customers. Because that happens. Some people, man, they just come in and paint a bowl and bail without buying anything. You're disgusting. Don't do that.
Like, we all have an emergency situation once in a while.
Yeah, and if you watch that video, too.
Like, twice in our life for that.
I mean, we could break that video down, too, because it was... It's nuts, man. There's so many layers to it to dissect. This woman just squats and just... drops it, grabs it, chucks it at the guy, wipes her hands, like she's done it before, okay? And also, it was ready to go. Like she...
Wow, and like she's an old pro. She doesn't get
no
shit on the back
like,
of her shoes.
She nothing, no.
She
knew what she was doing. It was a sight to
that
see.
Is both,
so
that is both sad on like the future of the human race,
yeah.
And also kind of inspiring that she's
yeah.
that talented at shitting and throwing it at
people. So what do you do with her? I mean, she'll be charged with assault most likely, and that poor employee probably needs counseling. I would want to stab someone in the neck if they did that to me. That is so disgusting.
That's what I mean about our generation being soft. Now, fair enough, I'd be very upset if somebody threw shit at me.
Dude, I would need counseling if somebody hit me in the face with a piece of shit. I'd close the business for a week. I'd be like, I'm not getting out of bed.
Monday to Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in that shower, just stand in there for 30 minutes, think about my life. Think about where I'm at in my life that someone just threw shit at me.
Yeah, the joys of small business ownership.
Dude, yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, better you than me, man. I couldn't do it.
Well, thankfully, no one's tossed a dookie at me.
That's fair. How long has you had the Cat Cafe open for? What, 2 years?
Almost, yeah.
How are you finding things?
Oh, good.
Like you dig it? It's worthwhile. I know it's.
I fucking hate it. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's good. It's a lot of work. When it's your own thing, it's very different. I'm working more hours than I ever have in my life. But yeah, when you own it, it's not a big deal. Like it's, when I was working at the casino, if I was working 5 days in a row, I wanted to drive my car off the road. But, now I'm working probably, about at least 10 hours a day, probably 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 2 years now. And, it's not that bad. I'm not burnt out, because of the work. It's exhausting, but it's not, you know, you just do it because I love it, so,
yeah. Well, it's different, and it's, again, I'm ignorant. I don't have my own business. I have pipe dreams of having my own little woodworking business one day.
Yeah.
Like the company I'm working for right now, a fire protection and life safety company, we were coworkers. We worked for the same company.
Yep.
I left. He bought into it, so... Where our history, as far as in the industry, we're both licensed. We've both been doing it for about 10 years, but now, like, I'm quite hard. I take pride in it, but he works twice as hard as I do.
Yeah.
And he's fine.
Yeah.
It's a hassle. And
people don't know, man. People see the end result, and I mean, that's not even to blame people. Unless you've done it, you just wouldn't know. Like, how could you know? The work that is involved in that, people have no idea. I could list all the things that I do.
Parenting.
What's that?
It's very different, and it's not a very apt analogy. But
no, it probably is.
Maybe is parenting.
Yeah.
How it's easier to put that much work and blood and sweat and effort into something. When it's close to your heart, you know, like you're building something.
Well, and I assume it's similar just because of the sheer volume of things that you're responsible for. You're responsible for a life. You have to make sure they eat three times a day and get their exercise, and you don't say anything weird to them or whatever that's going to fuck them up for life.
That's different, obviously, but the buck stops at you.
Yeah, yeah, it's right? It's all so, you.
I like that. I like the idea of that. You know, and I take a lot of pride if I can help build something, you know.
Yeah, it's really cool, and I often talk about, like, being grateful. I don't stop to think about the impact that we've had and like, take pride in that enough. Like, I don't pat myself on the back enough. I'm my own worst critic, and I don't know. I feel like that's an ego thing, but I do, like... Occasionally, I'll look at the wall where we've adopted, you know, whatever it is, 65 cats now, and I'm like, man, that's really cool. We've, like, 65 families have a cat and, like, a companion for the next 20 years because of us, because we're here. And that's really neat. Yeah. I like that.
It's very cool. I think that a lot, man. It's
it's pretty cool.
I think the term ego has such a complete negative connotation, but I think that's... I think people work too hard to go the opposite side of that sometimes, and it's almost the curse of being an inherently humble person.
Mm.
But you have to look at it objectively, right? Like, no, you're not going to blow your own horn all the time, but...
Sometimes. It is, yeah. That's a balancing act, but...
right? Yeah. We all try to look at our endeavors or issues or whatever objectively.
Yeah.
But you got to give yourself credit where it's due too, man. Like yep. that's what, I For don't sure. know, as a business owner,
I think
that's what keeps you going.
Most business owners, though, would probably agree with me that that's kind of, as an entrepreneur, that's what keeps you going, is you don't like rest on your laurels. The only thing that kind of pushes you forward to keep achieving is that you're that fucking part of your ego just can never be satiated, and you're just like, I have to keep going. I need more because I'm just never satisfied with myself.
As far as if it motivates you.
Yeah, it motivates you, but it's better. Yeah. It is.
I think it's important to stop. From like a self-awareness point yep. of view, just to, you know, stay humble.
Yeah.
Like I try to do as a parent or any of my other successes. Like I'm a good parent. My kids are the shit, man. But I have a lot to learn, and I'll always be learning, and I can always do better. But I think it's important to, even just in your head, you know, remaining humble, give yourself yeah. a bit of a pat on the back, saying, you know what, I did a good job here.
Yeah.
And sure, then you can keep going and keep doing better.
Yeah, you know? No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You do have to give yourself that little pep talk, because nobody else will do it for you. And that is really important just in life, I think, in general, to especially when you find yourself like beating yourself up or whatever, to kind of take stock of the things you've done right. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a really great quality. I think it's one of the many core values that makes like a well-rounded, sometimes that kind of innate sense of humbleness.
Yeah.
But I am a big advocate of being objective in recognizing your accomplishments.
Mm.
And for sure, giving yourself a bit of a pat on the back, you know, like our own biggest critic in a lot of ways, I think. And if you look at, you know, the rise in the health issues in teenagers and youth and even adults now, look at like the statistic, and again, I'm kind of ignorant about this, but I think from what little I know, if you look at statistics now, as far as clinical diagnoses from, you know, I use the term basic mental health conditions very loosely, but anxiety, depression, you know, social issues, one of the most prevalent issues, I think, is that people always talk shit to themselves constantly.
Yeah, that is a big problem. And I've always said, well, I don't always say it, it's not something that I repeat on the regular, but one of the most important things to me was if you wouldn't talk to yourself the way you would talk to a friend, or if you find your inner dialogue is too negative, what am I trying to say? If you wouldn't speak to a friend the way you speak to yourself, you shouldn't say it. You know what I mean? Like if you find that your inner narration is super negative, and you think of those things, and you consider yourself saying those same things to a friend, would they still be your friend? That's how you should think about it. If the answer is no, then you need to change that inner dialogue.
I agree with that completely. Yeah. I knew what you were trying to say. And,
yeah. I just wanted to articulate it.
I back that completely. I heard it. I don't even remember how he phrased it, but a guy named Eckhart Tolle wrote a book called The Power of Now.
Yeah, I know that book. Yeah.
I came into that in a very... you know, it was a tough time in my life. I was struggling with things on a number of different areas. And I've done I'm a big literature geek. Not usually self-help shit, more like fantasy sci-fi, but I've always read a shitload.
This is a self-help episode.
Yeah, that's the first book that I can ever say was a legit game changer. And he said something like that about the negative chatter that's so, so commonly in our heads, and that, you know, if our partner were to speak to us like that, it wouldn't partner.
No.
You know, just to bring kind of, I think it's important to bring a bit of awareness to be self-aware of how we talk to ourselves.
Yeah, you totally. Know,
I think that's a core issue in how a lot of people see themselves, and a core issue in why a lot of people struggle, you know?
Yeah. A book that changed my life was called, I think it's called The Inward Revolution. The author is Jiddu Krishnamurti. And when I read that book, that was when my perspective really changed. It was the whole thing, his whole philosophy was that if you want to change the world, you have to change yourself first. And you are the world and the world is you. And that whole thing that if, and that kind of narrowed my perspective, because I've said this before, but I was always, I used to be focused on world issues, and it would stress me out to the point of, like, you know, I'd get anxiety about why nobody cared about things that were going on elsewhere in the world. And I think you have to focus on things that you can change. And the only thing that you can control and change is the way that you respond to outside influences, to your environment, and the way you treat people. And that's how you change the world, because just being nicer to people, that's how you change the world. The way you speak, the way you act. Because you can't control things everywhere, but that's the one thing that you can control. So just be nicer. Just start there.
I agree. It's a classic Buddhist saying.
And it speaks...
Be the change you want to see in the world, right? And it makes a lot of sense if you actually think about it.
Yeah. Well,
I agree completely.
It starts, and it goes back to what you were saying, it starts with just being kinder to yourself. Too many people are so hard on themselves, and I'm guilty of it too, but that's where it starts, is just speak nicer to yourself. Speaking of benevolence, how did you get involved in this, the Bearded Villains charitable organization there? Let's talk about that for a minute.
That is a very, that is an excellent segue, and we'll certainly get to that, but this is a way... It started out being trying to be nice to myself in almost a vain way. So my beard is, you know, like an eighth of what it was like this time last year. But from a mutual friend, I posted a couple of your classic selfies on Instagram or some shit like that. She saw it and she's like, "Hey, you should sit down and just have coffee, chat with my partner, Corey Barker's the gentleman's name. He runs a club called Bearded Villains." She didn't really give me a rundown on it, but just a very, like, superficial rundown. Mm-hmm. She's like, "Yeah, it's a beard club, but you really like that." I've known this young lady for a number of years, and I trust her judgment. So I'm like, "Okay, you know, I'll sit down and chat. I'm all for making new friends, and I trust your judgment. And, I don't know, at the very least, maybe he'll, you know some better, I don't know, grooming products I can use for my crazy beard." So that was the start of it.
Yeah, so explain to the listeners what the organization is.
So, originally, and it started in 2014, and it started in LA, and it was actually it's come a long ways from how it started, but it started out in GQ magazine, and it was showcasing models with the purpose of, like, I guess highlighting dudes with killer beards that they were just like anybody else. As opposed to this, I don't know, this kind of unfortunate stigma, you know, that guys with beards are they're all lumberjacks, or they're bikers, or they're ruffians, or something like that.
Hipsters.
So I sat down and I met Corey, and he actually filled me in on what it all was. And so it's a worldwide, it started that way, 2014 in LA, and it was like a brand. But there is still technically the brand, but none of the Bearded Villains that I know have anything to do with it. And now it's like basically a worldwide beard club that kind of focus on so there's five key things. So there's, you know, focus on your beard. We all take pride in our beards and stuff. It's like any other club, there's one thing that brings people together, right?
Okay.
Motorcycle club, baseball league, pool league, anything. But it's the beard, charity, family, respect, and loyalty. The biggest thing was, as far as charity, was the idea of community involvement, I really liked Corey. He's a very enigmatic, charismatic, just lovely human being. He's one of my best friends in the world, but so he drew me in. But the idea of kind of the thought process that you know, I think we have a responsibility to do well by a community that's done well by us. And at this point, you know, I love the brotherhood, I love the camaraderie. But one of the things that one of the biggest reasons why I've stayed with BV is it, Bearded Villains, is it's an excellent vehicle that allows me to do more good in the world than I could solo.
Yeah, that's, that makes sense.
Next week, and it's gained all sorts of momentum.
Yeah, so explain the event next week. So it's hosted by K-Rock, or sponsored by K-Rock, and yeah, it's you guys and the you and the Bearded Villains. So
next Saturday, May 26th, it's at Zorba's on Back Road.
At Zorba's, okay.
Doors open at 4, we go to midnight, so we've got K-Rock is very graciously, after some initial meetings, they agreed to be our sole media sponsor. So they gave us, like, they donated a killer media package.
Yeah, that's
commercials
amazing.
Are all over K-Rock 105.7.
Yep.
Giveaways, Sideshow, and Care, two of the VJs, are going to be...
I think Sideshow's there. Judging,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Sideshow's awesome.
Yeah, he's judging the competition?
Yep, Sideshow, yeah. And Care are going to be guest judges.
Right. So explain what's going on there.
They're doing a whole bunch of stuff for us. We've got some of Kingston's, we're highlighting some really solid Kingston local live music. We've got Goldwing, cool. Listen Up Kid, and John Torres going to be there.
Nice. I'm actually going to try and get the singer from Listen Up Kid on the podcast at some point. Dennis, if you're listening, hit me up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mr. Dennis Clark, he was also a high school companion of ours.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're actually, if you're talking to him next Saturday, tell him to give me a shout. I'll message him.
You know what? I will for sure. Yeah, I absolutely will. So it's going to be, it's going to be big. Like, it started out with very humble beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have different, you know, charities or whatever that are kind of near and dear to our hearts for whatever reason. You know, Ontario Special Olympics, mm-hmm. was one that was close to me, and a bunch of us did the polar plunge,
yep.
which is sweet.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Is,
even though I was the only one in our club of like 10 of us, 8 of us, that had a tie in to Special Olympics, but they all backed it.
And yeah, that's wicked, man.
Like almost a grand.
That's great that it's that supportive.
Yeah, like it's very inclusive. We've got like Bearded Villains Queens. It's not just gender inclusive, you know.
Yeah, I heard in an interview that there are women that are, what are they called, the women bearded people?
Whiskerinas.
That's hilarious. So how do they do that? They knit like beards.
I've seen one of the ladies that's kind of co-organizing this. Her name's Aid. Oh, I should know this. Oh, she doesn't hear this. Adrian Hutz, I think.
Okay.
But she won a competition, I think, a couple years in a row for best whiskerina beard.
Amazing.
And she made a beard out of like twigs and leaves and stuff. It was like at one with nature, like nature goddess beard. It was really cool, actually.
Some real hippie shit. I dig it.
Super hippie shit, man. So we've got a whiskerina category at the competition.
Ladies, if you're listening, fashion yourself a beard and get over there. So what are the prizes? What can people win?
We've got tons. We've got a bunch of our prizes come from some of our core sponsors. So we've got Kingston Brewing Company, which made an actual legit speakeasy amber ale just for the event.
Sick. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome, man, to have this much support from like a very successful brewery was very humbling and very, very cool. We have Tough Canuck Beer Company, which is putting up shitloads of prizes, and it's going to be selling merch there.
Cool.
We've got Mad Viking Beard Care, Canadian Rednecks Beard Care, Diva Hair and Aesthetics,
and all the proceeds are going to Alzheimer's research.
Yeah, KFLNA Alzheimer's Society.
Dope. So,
we've got like 15 other sponsors.
We're looking at there, like, alcohol,
like giving shit away.
Yeah, so we're looking at alcohol, we're looking at live local bands, prizes, all kinds of merch, K-Rock's going to be there. Going to be tons of people and lots of fun. And it runs from 5... What time did you say? 5 to...
4 to midnight.
4 to midnight.
4 to 5:30, K-Rock spinning tunes.
Right.
5:30 to 8, competition. 8 to midnight.
Right, there's a beard basically competition. Just, so if you know somebody that has a big-ass beard, and then you're just going to get crunk. Okay, cool. That sounds fun. And how much are tickets if people want to go?
So it's $20 at the door. $30 if you want to be in the competition. You can get them tickets as well at King's Brewing Company.
Right, and there's a meal, right?
Just search the Speakeasy.
Yeah.
Or you can search myself, Michael Pullman, on Facebook. Send me a message, and I can hook you up with tickets, no sweat.
Right. And $30, I think, does that get you a meal as well?
No, it's so $20 for entry, $20 for all you can eat that night.
Okay.
And then basically an extra $10 to be in the competition.
That's pretty damn good, though. All you can eat, $20. You're going to spend more than that on McDonald's.
What's that?
I said $20 for all you can eat is pretty good. You're going to spend more than that on McDonald's on the way home.
Easy, yeah. And you've got some of Kingston's wicked tunes and raffle prizes, 50-50, all sorts of cool shit, man.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, it should be. Cool. So if you're listening to this and you don't have anything to do, no plans, next Saturday, go out and support a good cause. That'd be fun. That seems like it's been almost an hour. That seems like a good place to end this. So Mike, if people want to get tickets, you just told them, reiterate one more time how they can get in touch with you.
So they can go right down to Kingstown Brewing Company on Arlington Park Place, just off Gardner's there.
Yeah.
You can go search online at Eventbrite and just search the Speakeasy. It'll come right up.
Speakeasy, got it.
Or you just message myself on Facebook, Michael Pullman, and we can get you hooked up.
All right, or DM me and I can get you hooked up if you still forget everything that he just said. And last question, Yanny or Laurel?
I shouldn't even admit this. I don't even know what the hell this is about.
Oh, no.
Yanny or Laurel shit.
Okay, so earlier in the week, this recording was played. It started circulating on the net. If you play it, some people are hearing, I think it was like 47% of people are hearing Yanny, and the other 53% are hearing Laurel. And what they've discovered is that the Laurel is played at a lower frequency, and people that are hearing that are typically older, and what it suggests is, I think, some form of hearing loss, because the Yanny is played at a higher frequency. So it's overlapping sounds, basically, but based on your hearing, you're only hearing one or the other. So younger people typically hear Yanny.
Interesting.
If you played it for your kid,
Yanny, just because it makes you feel better.
Yeah, if you played it for your kid, you should probably hear Yanny, I would imagine. I hear only Laurel. I've never heard Yanny. I don't even know what that part sounds like.
Scott, you're dating yourself, bro.
Oh, I'm old as fuck.
Yeah. Me too, buddy. Me too.
Yeah.
Midlife crisis is just around the corner.
Yeah, man. All right, so let's wrap this up. You can contact me at sfardella on Instagram, or DM me on the podcast, Into the Void Podcast on Instagram. Facebook page, I will have the links for the event. I'll put them up on the Facebook page if you guys want tickets. It supports Alzheimer's research, which probably everybody has a relative that's been affected by that. So it's a good cause. Next Saturday, 4 to midnight, should go. It's at Zorba's. Mike
Thanks
Bowman.
Thank you very much for having me on, Scott. Yeah. It's been a pleasure, bro.
Thanks for joining the podcast, man. Appreciate it.
All right. All the best, man. I'll see you at the cafe soon.
Yep. Take care. Thanks for listening, guys. One thing that Mike and I didn't get to touch on was the release of Season 2 of 13 Reasons Why. And what I think I'm going to do is later in the week, I'll record maybe a half hour, like short episode, and just kind of review Season 2 of 13 Reasons Why. And I wanted to do that because I had mixed feelings about Season 2 when it first came out, from a purely entertainment standpoint, and then based on the conversation that it kind of progresses. The show's kind of provocative and controversial, touches on a lot of difficult subjects that I think are worth dissecting. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. It'll be released probably later this week. And next week on the podcast, we have Joanne Roston. She's a therapist based out of Kingston and Montreal who, the name of her therapy is No Bullshit Therapy. It's creative, it's conversational, it's goal-oriented. She believes in the use of marijuana in therapy. So it should be an interesting conversation. Hopefully you guys will enjoy that one too. So we'll see you next week. Thanks, guys. Bye.